Bread on my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Citizens.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
It's my mistake, let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
culture,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM. And over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings with my special guest, Cindy Bourgeois. And we're going to talk about Camp Firefly, of which Cindy is Communication Committee Chair. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. Camp Firefly, I think, is something that everybody should know about. If they haven't heard about it, they should have. And we're going to talk about it right now. Well, tell us what Camp Firefly, right off the top here. What's it all about?
Camp Firefly is Canada's largest volunteer-based summer leadership program for queer and trans youth. So lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, gender queer, two-spirit, intersex folks. So it's a camp for young people. I think the ages are about 14 to 20 or 14 to 19, and this has more information on the website. But it's a camp that operates. This year it'll be at Lumsden Beach Camp, out at Lumsden Beach, of course, and it operates. To create a safer space for queer and trans young people.
From your initial description here, this sounds like it's like we're talking about Regina, but this is across the country?
Well, the hope is to be across the country. It started about in 2004 in Alberta. And they've been operating for 11 years now, and then it's been in every year. It alternates from around Saskatoon and Regina.
Oh, okay.
So it like alternates every year here in Saskatchewan, but it's been going here for 5 years.
Okay, I was unaware of the sort of the back and forth thing. I thought it was always at Lumsden Beach or.
No, it alternates every year.
Okay. Okay. Who's been instrumental getting things going here in Saskatchewan?
Well, it's in 2009. A couple of guys up in Saskatoon, and their names are Herb McFall and Tony Badulka, and they're up at the University of Saskatchewan. And they started, they heard about it happening in Alberta, and they thought, well, why don't we try and do one here in Saskatchewan? So they did that. They started in 2009 up near Saskatoon. And so that was the first year in Saskatchewan. And then James McNinch, who is the dean of the Faculty of Education at University of Regina, called Carla Blakely, who's the pastor at Bread of Life Lutheran Church, and she and Russell Mitchell Walker, who's the minister at Eastside United Church, they'd been talking about doing something. They'd heard about Camp Firefly, and they talked about doing something like this for years. And mm-hmm. James McNinch sent them an email and said, "Hey, is there anything we can do about doing this?" And that sort of provided the impetus. And it's, you know, very supportive from Alberta. They do like a lot of work, and it's, you know, they really help you set it up and everything. And then now it's just run by a group of volunteers, very dedicated volunteers, and I just joined it this year. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Yeah. When you think about it, when you hear stories from people who are, say, transgender or queer or whatever, usually part of their story is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually coming out, at least in stories that I've heard, when they're maybe young or older adults, and it sounds pretty painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the biggest advantage of something like Camp Firefly is that kids who know that they're different, you know, and they do usually know,
yeah.
you know, they've got a way to express that, a way to sort of find out what's going on. So you avoid kind of years of discomfort, even, well, it can go even further than that, as you know. There are kids that are, and adults, that have suicidal thoughts and this
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because things are so rough. So I see this as a way of kind of heading this kind of stuff off at the pass.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The statistics for queer and trans youth and suicide rates is incredibly high. I think one third of the estimates of stats I've heard, and you know what statistics are like, but that one third of the teenage boys who commit suicide are gay. And this is a fairly confirmed stat that 42% of trans people have attempted suicide. And that's attempted, not just thought about mm-hmm, it, but attempted.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so it is really creating safer spaces is really important for that, and giving people a chance, a place where they can be themselves mm-hmm. is very important. And, you know, it can really be a matter of life and death. So this is like a really great, a space and endeavor that will allow young people to be themselves.
Right. Yeah, I just see it as a real positive. I'm a fairly older person, you know, compared to everybody around here.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking back to my experiences in school, and I think of people who I know they were different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and lots of cases they wouldn't talk about it, but it was almost an understood thing.
Right.
You know, he or she is gay.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. But I don't know. I don't remember any real unpleasantness about it. I don't know. Is that the norm or?
Well, I mean, I'm sure the story, you know, everything's contextual. I'm sure the story for those folks that you're remembering as being gay or lesbian would have a different story to tell.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that you know, there's, you know, I'm sure there is some bullying going on. We hear a lot about bullying now,
mm-hmm.
and it's really true now. Maybe, obviously, you weren't part of that bullying, mm-hmm. so you know. But it still does happen. I remember a couple people in my high school who, you know, were accused, and I use that word deliberately, accused, mm-hmm. You know, of being gay. And, you know, and even, but it's even just the smaller things like the microaggressions, like, people saying things like, that's so gay, or, you know, just, the assumption that all partnerships, all couplings are, heterosexual. And so there's lots of, everyday microaggressions mm-hmm. that just make your life a little bit harder all the time without the overt, you know, problems of bashing or, you know, of overt discriminations. It's just, you know, all those little things as well. And so really to have a space for at least for a few days where being queer is normal, it's the norm. So you're in a group mm-hmm. where you are part of the norm just for a few days.
Right.
It's just like a real gift to young people. And it's real affirming and it's just can really make a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, have you had any experience at Camp Firefly yourself? Or you were saying that you've just sort of joined the board.
I just joined the board this year. And so I've heard of Camp Firefly, but I just moved to Regina a year ago. So I have not had any. I've never actually been out there mm-hmm. myself. But I've been out to Lumsden Beach Camp. It's a beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've heard some young people speak of the experiences they've had. And it is a really great thing.
Did you have any camp experience yourself other than, you know, like a so-called normal camp? Was that ever part of your experience?
Yeah, I went to camp when I was a child. I mean, I was closeted as a child, but mm-hmm. I went to camp as a child, and I was never, it wasn't my thing exactly, mm-hmm, but I think one of the other things about Camp Firefly is they try to allow people to have do their own thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you have to go and hike if there's hiking or you don't, there's no requirement for you to do exactly what everyone else is doing, so that there's an opportunity to be yourself, because to have something like this is, you know, they want to be welcoming to everybody, which is a challenge always. And there's always going to be someone who's going to say, oh, I don't want to go to camp. I hate camp. You know, I want to stay in the city and things like that. But mm-hmm. they really try and make it so that it's, I guess, camper driven mm-hmm. in a way, so that the events and are camper or something that the campers want to do and that they're, something interesting to them.
I'm just curious what your thought is in terms of what kids' experience is between, say, cities and small towns. I came from a small town, and that was my experience, that I found them to not be that worked up about the whole idea, about somebody being, you know, that different from them in their midst. I mean, I guess, like, say, going, I'm just trying to reach way back into my memory banks
right
here when I'm in school. But I think when you're in a situation where you're in a classroom and you're basically doing all the things that you need to do in a classroom, and so you're socializing with a person, and it isn't very long before you realize there's really not that much difference here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there's, and I'm just, you know, guessing here, because I lived in a town of 30,000 for 3 years, mm-hmm. but that's the smallest town. I'm more of a big city person myself.
Mm, okay.
But I think there's an anonymity mm-hmm. in the big city, whereas in a small town, you know, depending on how size a lot, there's a lot of everybody knows everybody else.
Right.
So if you're harassing somebody else's child, well, you know all their relatives and their grandparents
right,
and
right.
everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the city, there's an anonymity mm-hmm. that sort of gives people, seems to give people license to display their baser selves, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting harassed, I think, is, I mean, it can happen anywhere. I don't want to say it, but it does happen in cities. And, to be honest, I mean, I've lived in Toronto for 10 years, and I've probably been harassed more there than elsewhere, but which people always wonder about. But, you know, there's also just a greater variety of people in the larger city, you know. So, I still think that, the actual opportunities to come out. I mean, in Regina, I know, just in being here a year, has a lot of work to do in sort of like creating spaces for people to come out. I know, you know, there's a few, I mean, there's been a trans support group, but only for like 3 or 4 years in Regina, you know, and that's not a long time. And, so there is a lot of work to be done here as well. I think we really need to acknowledge that. And a lot of it is when you're in a place where you can't just even see other people, or, you know, even, or it's on TV and the rest of your family is saying, oh, that person's a freak. You know, how can you do that? Whereas in a larger city, I mean, there's just more people coming in contact with other people. So, you know, it does sort of create that environment. But, you know, I mean, I know queer people who like living in small towns.
Exactly.
Because
they know everybody.
And they like small town life the reason everybody else likes small town life. And I like city life for the reason everybody else likes city life, right? So
More stuff going on.
More stuff music, going on. All that stuff,
Yeah, but I can see basically what you're saying here is anonymity in a city is kind of a two-edged sword. On the one hand, you can kind of blend in with, with other people. But on the other hand, you've got people with the sort of misogynist tendencies, and they just take advantage of that, and they see someone that they decide they don't like, and decided, you know,
in a city the size of Regina, a lot of children, like high school kids, will come from all over the city, and so their parents don't necessarily know the other parents. They, you know, they might have Regina's not that big, but they might or might not, and you know, so that sort of connection isn't as deep as it goes in a small town, from what I understand of small towns. Not being the expert, of course.
I'm just wondering, as my head is kind of walking around stuff here, would there be would people who don't have issues, let's say, or not that they're aware of, with their sexual identity or gender or whatever, would sort of quote unquote normal kids be welcome at Camp Firefly? Do you ever have any there? Do you know?
No, it's exclusive queer kids. Yeah, because there's camp everywhere all the time non-queer kids. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, just you know, thinking about it here, it would be a good experience for non-queer kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know I would. But I mean, it's just there's not that much space for queer camps, and there is something about being at a space where you don't have to explain yourself to anybody.
Right?
Nobody's going to ask you a question about, well, when did you know you were gay? Or why do you think you're gay? Or how do you know you're trans? Or what does that mean? Whereas, you know, you're in a space and you don't have to, every time you want to speak about something about yourself, you don't have to spend 5 minutes explaining, giving all the background and all that. You can just say, you know when that happens? And they're like, yes, I know exactly when that happens. And, you know, there's a real way to connect and bond. And you can go deeper with things, you know, and some things, you know, people just won't understand it. And it's just because it hasn't been their experience. Not that they're necessarily prejudiced or anything, but just it hasn't been their experience. And so they can't understand it.
Right.
But there's something about that shared experience of the people that gives them an opportunity to be more just more open and to go deeper.
Yeah. Not that they can't understand, but they're here. And it's going to take some work to get them to the point where they can understand.
Yeah.
And that kind of...
You do that every day.
Oh, yeah. That'd be very tiresome.
So it's nice to have... it is tiresome. And you do that every day. And so for 4 days, it's great for these young people just to be able to...
Yeah.
You know, and it also, it's also an opportunity to explore where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you're 15, you know, you don't know what. Well, no, I don't want to offend any 15-year-olds, but you know, who are listening out there, because, and if you're listening out there, 15-year-olds, good for you. Mm-hmm. But listen, to being concerned about human rights, it's very important. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a time of, like, trying to find out who you are. And so it's, I think it's just an opportunity for people who are questioning even.
Right.
And they're not even sure what's going on.
Right.
So they can then talk about it in a safe place where people won't be saying, oh, no, you have to be this or you have to be that. I think also even sometimes in queer and trans communities, it can sort of be, oh, you have to be like this. But mm-hmm. no, this is an opportunity just to be who you are mm-hmm. and to explore who you are and where you're going and who you need to be in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A real sort of journey of exploration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And at that age, you know, you just need that and you need to just try things on and mm-hmm. and say, how does this work? And to live it for a few days is a chance to say, no, this really feels good. Or mm-hmm. maybe it doesn't feel good and I'm going to go on exploring who I might be. Because, you know, often we try to fit things into one or two boxes,
right.
you know, male or female, gay or straight. And really, there's it's all continuums,
yep.
and it's all, you know, so this is a chance to try things on a little bit and to see people who are, you know, you think it's not that they're all going to be the same. I mean, they'll have some of the same experiences,
mm-hmm.
but somebody will say, yeah, well, you know, I kind of look at it like this way. And then another person might say, oh, that's interesting. I've never mm-hmm. looked at it that way. And, you know, hopefully they can, grant other people their experiences and how they understand things and how they feel about things and just sort of understand that, oh, no, there's lots of ways to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's many
mm-hmm.
ways to be.
I'm just thinking different scenarios are running through my head here, and I'm just wondering if there's a possibility of a scenario where a kid, like take our 15-year-old, and they're not sure what's going on, and as a result of going to camp and discussing with people and everything, they discover they're not as gay as they thought they were.
Well, hopefully that could be a possibility.
They're still not that close to the norm, but they're at a different point in the spectrum than they
absolutely.
Thought they were.
And I think there's people do that, throughout their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of times, we try to say, oh, that person's gay. And, you know, like I know people who have been in committed same gender relationships for many years and then falls apart, like, and, you know, and they get divorced and, mm-hmm. and then they, all of a sudden, next time I see them on Facebook, they're, you know, in a non-same, even though they've always identified as a lesbian or,
mm-hmm.
and so I think we need to embrace more of a fluidity
mm-hmm.
and just allow things to move and change and let people be open to many different things and, including being, you know, it doesn't, you know, there's no right way to be gay or no right way to be trans and there's no gay enough or trans enough. It's
mm-hmm.
just,
mm-hmm.
it's just, let people be who they are and live as they feel. And it doesn't have to, and just because someone says, no, I am gay today, if 10 years from now you find out they're in a non-same gender relationship, then it doesn't nullify mm-hmm. anything about them.
Right, yeah. Just to make things more interesting, remember, I think I saw an interview. There's so much information coming at us from so many different directions. Sometimes I forget where I read it or heard it or
Absolutely,
saw it
yeah.
on the computer or on TV or whatever. But it was a group of people who are asexual.
Yes.
They have no feelings one way or the other.
Yes.
And that's just it. And they're not an insignificant number. There's quite a few of them out
yeah.
there. So, once again, I can see where a child would wonder, perhaps, like, what's going on here?
Right. Like, why, you know, all their friends are getting excited, and they might even have gay or lesbian friends or bisexual
sure.
friends who are saying, oh, I want to get with that person, I want to get with another person.
Yeah.
And they're kind of left just kind of cold by the idea and just saying, that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
And they might, well, what's wrong with me that that doesn't interest me?
Yeah.
And the answer is there's nothing
exactly
wrong with you.
Yeah. Right. One of many topics that I'm sure would be explored
at
Camp Firefly. So I'm just curious. We've only got a little bit over a minute here before we have our first break. Do you have any trouble finding volunteers to come and staff Camp Firefly?
Finding volunteers is always a challenge when you work in volunteer land. We do have pay some staff. And finding people to get out there and be leaders. And a lot of the leaders, youth leaders, are former campers. Mm-hmm. And so there's not really a problem from that. It's the bigger thing of, like, getting it all together
right.
and all that. Yeah. That's more of the, you know, anybody who works with volunteers wants more volunteers.
Yeah, yeah. My sense would be you'd have all kinds of people who think it's a great idea and I'd love to do it, but I've got these other obligations
and I
can't find that chunk of time to go out and devote to this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, believe it or not, we've got to the end of our first segment.
It goes quickly.
It does. And I've got some Michael Franti queued up here. So we're going to play that after we do the break. And so we'll be right back. And we're talking to Cindy Bourgeois. She's communications chair of Camp Firefly.
Hold on, selector.
Luck I had was you, and I know one thing that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone.
that was Michael Ferranti. And I was just telling Cindy here, I went to see Michael when he was at the Center of the Arts. No, pardon me, Conexus Arts Center. There, did it right that time. Yeah, and it was great. You know, one of those really, really engaging performers and very personable. We discovered that he has a girlfriend from Saskatoon and stuff
really?
Like that. Oh, yeah. So he's got connections around here. He likes Saskatchewan.
Oh, good. Well, what's not to like?
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So on to Camp Firefly again here. Just going to mention some... I see we have some fundraising type events.
Absolutely, yeah. First of all, we will have a presence at Pride. There's a this Sunday. There's we will be tabling at the Cornwall Center,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to be in the parade, and then we're also going to be at Victoria Park after the parade.
Right.
So there's a presence there, mm-hmm. and it's on July, where is that? I have it on here somewhere. Vian
Timmins.
Timmins, exactly. Yeah. Vian Timmins is having a cocktail hour, a couple hours on, do you have the date for that?
I do. June 24th.
Thanks so much.
From 5:30 to 8:30.
Absolutely. From 5:30 to 8:30. June, it's $50.
Yep.
Contact Camp Firefly at their email address, or you can go to the Camp Firefly website. You just Google Camp Firefly Saskatchewan.
And Firefly is spelled a little differently.
Yeah, it's Firefly, which really drives me nuts every time I try to print it out, write it out, but that's okay. And there's going to be Nonsense, which is put on by... I think it's the Imperial Court Regina Drag Queen Community, and it's a drag event on July 12th at the on Broad Street, the
right.
Q Club.
Yep, the 2070 Broad.
Yeah, on Broad Street there. You can't miss. There's a big queue out there.
Yes.
Which we...
That's a fairly new sign.
Exactly, yeah. There's a big queue out there, so you know where the queers are.
Yeah.
Which is, whenever you need them, that's where they are. Well, they're all over the place, actually. Don't listen to me. So, so those are a couple of the events we have. And that'd be great. And come see us at Pride. And if you want to sign your kid up, then come down to Pride. You can come and sign us up there or get on the... get on the website and contact us there.
I notice here that Camp Firefly is looking for magazines. That's what it says right here.
It's looking for magazines?
It's looking for magazines. It says, please email campfirefly.sask@hotmail.com if you have any magazines to donate or drop them off at the Gay and Lesbian Community of Regina, 2070 Broad Street, after 7 p.m.
And I imagine it's for crafting. You can do lots of crafts with magazines.
The other place is the Living Spirit Center, and that's where Eastside and...
And Bread of Life Lutheran are, out on Doan and
what's
Arcola.
The name? And there's an Anglican church there, too.
I can't remember the name of the Anglican church.
Mm.
I haven't met any from there yet, so...
Yeah, some of my best friends are Anglicans.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, I just thought I would throw that out there.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And a little bit more about Camp Firefly. I just want to run through some of the things. If you look at their website, it is there's a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
What happens at the camp? It features day and evening workshops with designated time set aside for personal reflection, community building, and social activities. And potential workshop topics include leadership skill building, confronting bias and dealing with diversity, combating preconceived notions and confronting stereotypes. You know, I read these topics and I think to myself, you know, the average kid would really could really use some of this type of discussion. Yeah. But like you say, it's a different type of community and level of comfort and all the rest of it. So they can do this at their own camp.
Yeah, exactly.
Combating preconceived notions and confronting stereotypes, coming out and coming to terms with sexual minority and gender diversity issues, negotiating relationships with peers, parents, and caregivers. There you go. Including participatory drama and youth networking. And I like this one at the very end, nurturing ourselves.
Absolutely.
And once again, I think we could all learn, something about that. Nurturing ourselves is a good thing. So let me just read the mission. Camp Firefly, Saskatchewan is an educational, social, and personal learning retreat for sexual minority and gender variant youth. And in brackets here, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans-identified, two-spirited, intersexed, queer, questioning, and allied. It focuses on building and nurturing their leadership potential and personal resiliency in an effort to help them learn how to make significant contributions to their own lives and to their schools, home/group home environments, and communities. The camp is designed for sexual minority and gender variant youth between the ages of 14 and 24. I hadn't asked that question, but I was thinking, like, at what point do you have this discussion? And that seems like a reasonable time to be doing and I think in a lot of cases now, you do have parents who are very understanding and very aware of what's going on with their child and very supportive. But they don't know what to do.
Absolutely.
So this is, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not even. I mean, they hopefully, like, a lot of people do know how to be parents and really just love your child. And
but you don't expect to have to, to deal with this particular issue,
right?
Being a teenager is going to be tough. Whatever.
Tough no matter what. I have teenage nieces and nephews, and they're it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But but it's just that this is you don't want to say who has life harder than anyone else, but rather this is something that's a different thing that you have to deal with. And so having as an opportunity to engage with people with this same particularity is helpful, and just it's really life-giving.
The thing that I find ironic is that this is not new. People have been people for thousands of years.
Forever.
And my sense is that the percentages haven't changed. This has always been with us. And we're just really now, at least in the larger society, becoming better educated and better informed. And I think improving our attitudes towards the whole thing.
Yeah, in the West, for sure. Mm-hmm. We tended to erase people who are different so that some people will say, well, how come I didn't see gay people, you talk to people who grew up in the 1930s or something, say, well, I didn't know any gay people. And then it was, well, did you ever know that couple those two women who are really good friends and spent all their time together and lived in the same house? Maybe they were lesbians, and so a lot of people would figure out ways to do it, but it was not brought out it was not brought to the surface in society. So we are making real headway in that area, so that's a real positive thing. I think we need to not be complacent and still keep that in mind, although again the world is a broken place in many ways, and there's many things we have to deal with. This is one of many, of course.
Right. Yeah. It's encouraging. There are a number of faith-based organizations that are really doing positive things.
Absolutely.
Like the United Church.
Yeah.
And it cost them. They've had material. They've had material difficulties because there were people who didn't agree.
Oh yeah, and absolutely. People left the church.
Yeah,
and you still. It was in 1988 that they agreed to ordain. That's allowed to become ministers. Gay and lesbians, And whenever you say 1988 in, you know, the church circles, you have to lower your voice. And
yeah.
1988.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And it's still, there's still a scar from it. But,
yeah.
So, I mean, United Church has tried to do things, and a lot of human rights things. We really feel that it's, I'm a United Church minister. We mm-hmm. haven't mentioned that, but that, you know, we really feel that, human rights are, part of the prophetic witness, mm-hmm. and that's really, you know, that we're not really free until everybody's free. You know, our liberation is all tied up together, so
right.
that it's not just because, you know, I have some freedoms that I can just go on and go hang out and not worry about anybody else, but mm-hmm. rather that we're really responsible to each other and that we're really connected to each other, and that, you know, I can't be, as I'm quoting Martin Luther King here,
exactly.
of course, but I can't be.
It sounded
who,
very familiar.
Yeah, I can't be who I am, totally mm-hmm. who I am, unless you are who totally you are, and
mm-hmm.
you can't be who you are. You are meant to be unless I am who I am meant to be, and we're really connected. So
mm-hmm.
It's really, that is really important. So this thing is really good. And, you know, also, you know, Carla is a Lutheran pastor, mm-hmm. and this is something that's very dear to her heart. And so these things are, you know, the church has a lot to answer for
mm-hmm.
in this way and in many ways. But there are people in the church who are trying to engage this sort of thing. And I do want to emphasize that this isn't a church.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Firefly is not a church event. It's just that the two people who are really instrumental, who have been leaders of it for many years here in Regina, are ministers.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually started in Alberta from mm-hmm. A couple of guys who are connected with the university. So it's a real community
mm-hmm.
event. But one of the interesting things was that, as I said, there is a spiritual nature to Camp Firefly, but that was actually requested by mm-hmm. the children,
oh.
by the youth, rather.
Wow.
So it's like people, they started off, they didn't really have a spiritual component to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, they decide, and then it was the young people who said, you know what, we need some kind of a spiritual component to this
mm-hmm.
so that, partly, I guess, so that, you know, for those who are people of faith, whatever
mm-hmm.
that faith may be,
right.
You know, can sort of, you know, can sort of like make some connections to their faith and
mm-hmm.
what they believe. And, you know, so it's not, it's a secular organization
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and there's no need to be, if some of your personal time is when people are doing something spiritual, that's cool too, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know, so it's
mm-hmm.
not, don't want to make it any sort of sense that it's a Christian camp or anything. In fact, they always have an artist in resident there, and the first artist in residence was a Two Spirit fellow and a performance sergeant, Adrian Stinson,
mm-hmm.
who's a Cree man, and
mm-hmm.
And so we've, you know, that's not just a Christian thing or
mm-hmm.
even a faith thing, but the desire for a spiritual component was requested by the youth. So I thought that was really
interesting. And if somebody wanted to opt out of that, they could.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, or maybe there's, then you can just make your, well, they can opt out of that. Let's just
mm-hmm.
put it that way.
Sure.
I think that's the fairest way to
sure.
put it.
Yeah. But I think what probably happens, you know, especially with the age of the kids we're talking about, you know, 14 and up, if they're starting to look around their world and start to realize, holy cow, we are in a really strange place here.
Yeah.
And it's pretty hard to explain everything that's around us and ourselves, what's going on. Like, why are we here? The age-old question,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, why, and there's many different explorations of that
yeah.
from philosophy to...
So it's pretty hard to ignore the question.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can see where you'd probably get some requests.
Yeah, and I think also some of the people who, this is an indictment of the church, is that some of the people who need these events the most are people who've been discriminated by their
mm-hmm.
communities, right? So to have a place where they can be themselves and still, you know, explore who they are and how they're connected to the universe, the chaosmos, as as James Joyce said. You know, I think that's a real good opportunity as well. But again, as you said, I really do want to emphasize it is a secular organization and that it's, you know, you can opt out of spiritual components and also what you said is very true. It's, you know, why are we here? That's an old question.
You know, I think as you get older, some people kind of stop asking the question, you know, and you've got to make a living and put food on the table and a roof over your head, and that becomes your main concern. And maybe as you get a little older, you start thinking, okay, what's next?
Yeah, what's next?
Do you have very much in the way of, a negative attitude exhibited by anybody towards the camp? Does anybody, sort of come out against the whole idea? Any detractors?
There hasn't been a lot of that. I think, you know, there hasn't been any sort of like corrupting the youth sort of, a discussion or anything like that or accusations. It's, you know, people are just doing what they want to do you know, it's been overwhelmingly a positive, response.
Yeah. I just wondered because I certainly haven't seen any negative, comments anything like that towards Camp Firefly.
No. And I think occasionally in schools there are, concerns about some sort of an agenda or are you forcing things on people, but this is so much of like a volunteer thing, and you know people have to sign up for the camp and so you know no one's forcing anybody into anything,
right? Yeah. I have a few friends who are gay, and their story and in terms of their experience with the religion that they were brought up with is usually quite upsetting to them. They've basically been pushed away.
Absolutely, it happens.
So, and I belong to the Unitarian Fellowship here in town. And of course, similarly to the United Church, we're a welcoming congregation, you know, and we have quite a spectrum, you know, in our group, which we're quite proud of.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I'm very, very happy to see an organization like Camp Firefly happen, and I see it as a very worthwhile thing for everyone.
Absolutely. You know? Camp Firefly makes the world a little bit of a better place.
I'd like to see if we can give people some idea of how they can kind of help with what's going on. We talked about the fundraise. Let's touch on the fundraising again. So we've got the fundraising reception actually at the home of Vian Timmons, who is of course the president of the University of Regina, and that happens June 24th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And that's $50 per ticket. And if you want to buy some tickets or get more information, you can call 306-519-9433, or you can email Camp Firefly. Don't forget the strange way they spell fire.
Yes.
Camp Firefly Sask at hotmail.com. And then we have the Nonsense Dinner Theater fundraiser, and that's going to happen at the club.
Yes.
With the big Q in front there on 2070 Broad Street, Regina. And again, the same phone number and email address to get tickets or more information. And the magazines. I guess your explanation makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got magazines to donate to Camp Firefly, then you can drop them off at the club or you can drop them off at the Living Spirit Center, 3018 Doan Drive, which is just off Arcola.
Right.
When you're driving by there.
Mm-hmm. And it is a charitable organization, and you can donate to Camp Firefly.
Cool.
And you will get a tax receipt. And for the Vian Timmons event, you'll get a tax receipt for part of the $50.
I'm just going to go and read a little bit from the website here again, just to give you give our listeners a taste of what it's all about. And they describe the resource team, including adult educators, school teachers, artists, musicians, business professionals, psychologists, dramatists, dancers, writers, law enforcement officers, clergy, politicians, community volunteers, and queer cultural workers. Camp philosophy and programming also emphasizes a bi-youth, for-youth approach, in which older youth and adult facilitators mentor and help to support younger youth. In the spirit of advancing youth leadership, a youth advisory committee guides the development and delivery of our wide-ranging camp leadership and learning program. Sounds pretty darn solid to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a real community event. And every year there's artists in residence, mm-hmm. and this year the artist in residence is Jay Mace, who is from New Jersey and a mm-hmm. slam poet. And Jay Mace the Third actually is a self-described black, trans, queer, rowdy as hell poet with a capital P, based in New York City, and check out Jay Mace on YouTube, and he has a real attitude, and he's really cool and very much, and also does a lot of activism, and does a lot of great work. So I think the artist in residence is a really cool thing that Camp Firefly does, having someone there who can just let people try and express themselves in an artistic manner and that sort of thing. So and I think that's a really cool thing. I think Jeffrey Straker was there a couple mm-hmm. years ago, and so it's I think that's one of the really cool things about Camp Firefly.
Yeah, we've got some really good cultural diversity in Regina, which I'm really happy about. We're just in our last minute or so here. I'm just gonna. I notice we're right in the middle of Pride Week.
Yes. Well, Pride's week actually Sunday.
We had the pre-Pride Sask flag raising on Monday.
Yes.
And then the pre-Pride.
Yeah, we're still pre-Pride.
Steak night. That was on Tuesday. And tomorrow. It's Bringing Out Community Together in Pride, a family affair hosted by Bruce and Ivana Sanwar. I'm making an attempt there. Anyway, this is an invitation to one and all to join her in conjunction with the RSAR. What's the RSAR? I should know, but I don't. And the Q Nightclub for a day of fun and laughs. But we have essentially run out of time here. Cindy, thank you very much for
coming. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And
thanks for the support of Camp Firefly. It's a really good thing.
We kind of roamed all over the map here.
We did.
But the bottom line is, boy, we support Camp Firefly, and I think it's a really good thing. And I think they're doing wonderful work, and thank you very much for being here.
Thanks so much.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."